we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to the Refresh radio broadcast. You know how hard it is to come up with a creative way of saying the same words day after day, week after week, but we are glad that you're doing. In fact, on election day, I went to vote, and you have to show a voter ID or show an ID, and so I pulled out my driver's license, and the lady there working saw my name, and she said my name and said, are you on the radio? And I said, yes, I do the Refresh radio program. And she said, your voice doesn't sound quite the same. And I said, good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for listening to the Refresh radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And she said, that's you. And so, thank you for tuning in today. We're thankful to be able to bring the word of God to you tonight at Merritt Assembly of God. By the way, if not by now, very soon, our new and improved website is going to be up and running. And, I want to thank my daughters for putting that together. I knew that they were up to something. Some people had said, you know, your website really needs to be updated. And I was like, it wasn't that long ago that we updated it. But somebody had said, you know, it really needs to be changed a little bit. And unbeknownst to me, my daughters, both of them, they're both our social media specialists. One of them does the Facebook, and one of them does the web page for us there at the church. And they've been working on it for a number of days, and or actually for a couple of weeks. And so we're still tweaking it, but check it out, merrittassembly.com. But tonight is going to be our ladies event. You can find the calendar, the ministries in the calendar that's going on tonight at 6:30 in our fellowship hall. There is a potluck dinner that starts at 6:30, and then there's ministry time that begins at 7 p.m. and the ladies have a great time whenever they get to do that. So if you're interested, come and check that out. Kids ministry this Wednesday starts at 6:30, and our vintage service starts at 7 o'clock. Our kids ministry, we because of our spatial limitations, y'all be praying for us if you would, that God would help us to have the wisdom to know how to maximize our space and utilize it for his glory. And also that, you know, if we need a bigger facility, that God would help us with that. But our kids ministry starts off in the sanctuary from 6:30 to 6:45. They have their worship. Their worship's a little bit different than the vintage service worship, and might be just a smidgen louder. And so we give a 15-minute buffer in there so that the kids can scatter to their classes and the adults can come in for their Bible study. So that's going to begin this Wednesday, 7 o'clock, 6:30 for kids ministry. So now you know everything that I know. Let's get back into the Word of God. We had talked about on Friday how the spokesperson for the king of Assyria had said, don't worry, I'm leaving, but I will be back. And Hezekiah, when he got that letter, he came and he laid it out before the Lord, and he said, God, here's the letter, you can read it. You're not like any of the other gods they've ever encountered. And so verse number 20 is where we're going to resume discussing Hezekiah's prayer from Isaiah 37, verse number 20. He said, now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? Against the Holy One of Israel? By your servants you have reproached the Lord, and said, 'By the multitude of my chariots I have come up to the height of the mountains, to the limits of Lebanon. I will cut down its tall cedars and its choice cypress trees. I will enter its farthest height to its fruitful forest. I have dug and drunk water, and with the soles of my feet I have dried up all the brooks of defense. Did you not hear long ago how I made it from ancient times, that I formed it? Now I have brought it to pass that you should be for crushing fortified cities into heaps of ruins. Therefore their inhabitants had little power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and the green herb as the grass on the housetops, and grain blighted before it is grown. But I know your dwelling place, your going out and your coming in, and your rage against me, because your rage against me and your tumult have come up to my ears. Therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came.'" Wow. So, by the way, let me just tell you that there are some liberal theologians that when there are prophecies that are recorded in God's word, and they are so accurate and detailed that they accurately reflect what took place, they don't think that they were prophecies. They think that they were recorded after the fact and made it sound like God was recording it. I want you to know what we call that in Oklahoma. We call that baloney. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no time with him. He is the eternal God, the eternal King. Time is for man. God knows the beginning and the end and every step in between. He knows what has happened, knows what is happening, and knows what is going to happen. And so I'll just start with that, and let me move back to where we are in verse number 20, because this is how Hezekiah finished his prayer. If you want to know a little bit more about this, you can go back and listen on demand to the broadcast on Friday. But Hezekiah's request is simply this: "Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone." I want to encourage you that when we have a need in our life, when adversity arises, it is not simply for us to get deliverance that we're crying out. We are not just looking for relief from our misery, but instead, we should be crying out, "God, we're asking you to deliver us from this enemy, operate however you need to, but we want the end result that the peoples of this earth, that the nations would know that you are the Lord, that you alone are God." Would it be okay with you if God moved miraculously in your life and my life? It would be okay with me. If he would touch my finances miraculously, that would be perfectly fine with me. It would free me up in such a way, my missions giving, which is already pretty substantial, but it would free my missions giving up to be even more substantial. It would be okay if God moved that way in my life, where I was delivered. If you want to know one of the things that I deal with, finances is one of the areas that you know, are not in the best shape in my world. That's okay. None of those bills are following me to heaven. But we don't let those things stop us from giving. We certainly don't let it stop us from tithing. And we try and improve our financial situation as much as we can. But we want God to be glorified. So when a miracle takes place, don't just say, "Oh, thanks, God. Appreciate it." Let it be known. on this Monday, can I challenge you to share your testimony? Your testimony is not just a part of history. It is meant to be used by God, that the comfort that you have received, that you will use to comfort and inspire other people. That's what you need to do. And so I want to encourage you, don't just cry out for relief from your problems, but that God will be glorified, that it will be a miraculous event, a supernatural event that is going to result in God being praised to the uttermost. Verse number 21. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, the son of Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you've prayed to me. Because you have prayed to me. Because you've prayed to me. I'm just going to keep saying that until it sinks in. Because you have prayed to me. There are no shortage of prayer warriors in the body of Christ. We need more people praying. So some of you who are listening may not be able to get out and attend church services. You may be shut-ins. You may not have the transportation to be able to get out. It's a reality that that a lot of people have. Don't let that stop you from praying. If you say, well, I don't know who to pray for me. I don't know what to pray for. Pray for souls to be saved. I believe that everybody can be effective in prayer. God didn't say, because of what the enemy has done, I'm going to bring deliverance. He didn't say, because you were suffering, I'm going to bring the deliverance. He didn't say, because of the taunts of the enemy, that he was going to bring deliverance. He said, because you have prayed. Because you have prayed. Let's not give the enemy any legal standing in our life simply because we failed to appeal to God. I don't remember how long ago it was, 5-6 weeks ago, that we had a broadcast here on a Friday, and we simply prayed during that time. And up until that time, many people might not think that they could pray for very long. You see, it is not the length of your prayers that is effective. It is crying out to God, crying out in faith, and saying, God, this is the situation, and I believe that you are bigger than this situation. I get challenged when I read historical events of people who had these awesome prayer lives that it extended for hours and hours and hours. You see, I don't think heaven's going to be a boring place at all. I think that heaven is going to be a place where communication with our King has never been more effective. You know, I remember when I first got a cell phone. I can tell you how the reason that I ended up getting that cell phone was I took my kids to see where their grandfather was buried in Michigan. It was a little bitty podunk town, and my dad was, I'd never been there as an adult myself. And I was trying to get a hold of my dad to find out how to get to where his dad's house had been, and his business, and the cemetery where he was buried, and all of that. And so I stopped and I made a collect phone call at a payphone, and it cost $32. We were on the phone for about 2 minutes. Cost $32. And my dad said, "You're from now on, you're not traveling and calling me collect. You're going to get a cell phone so that you can get a hold of me." Back in those early days, cell phone communication, I mean, reception was terrible. But now my parents have a smartphone. I have a smartphone. And when I dial, it doesn't even, if it rings, it's because they're not near the phone. there are times where you can hit the button and automatically they are connected, and it sounds like they are standing right next to you. Prayer, while it might be a struggle down here because we can't see God, I just want you to understand God's right there. There's not a problem with the technology on his end. There's a problem with our thinking that we can't talk to God on our own. We can't talk to him except for on Sunday morning. We put so many restrictions on when we talk to God. The truth of the matter is we should talk to him before we have a need. We should talk to him when we have a need. We should talk to him after we have a need. We should talk to him because other people are going through crisis. There shouldn't be any hindrance to prayer. The scripture says praying always. That doesn't mean that you've got to be in a room on your knees all the time. I can't do that. I can't do that. But I tell you what I do so that I stay focused. I walk when I pray. It's not that I don't ever kneel. I do that, but I walk. It helps me to maintain focus when I do that. So, but he says here, because you have prayed to me, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. Don't you love that? That when we pray, God has an answer. When we cry out to him, he has a reply. And the reply has to do, it is given to Hezekiah, but it is primarily a message for the king of Assyria and his spokesperson that are in retreat. Whom have you reproached? This is verse number 23. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? If you were to ask them who they had done that to, whom have they had spoken against whom had they raised their voice? They would have said, we said that against Hezekiah. We said that against the people of Judah and all the people living in Jerusalem. And God's response to that is this: you did it against the Holy One of Israel. You see, when you and I are walking in covenant with God, whatever the enemy does to us, he has done to God as well. Whatever he has done to us, he has done to God as well. And God isn't going to stand idly by and watch those people that he has agreed to walk in covenant with. He's not going to stand idly by. Listen. When Saul launched out and destroyed the Gibeonites, they're a people that Joshua had entered into covenant with hundreds of years before. There was famine that came upon the land, hardship that came upon the land during the time of David. And they prayed and they said, what is going on? And the response was because of what Saul had done to the Gibeonites, a people that the people of Israel were walking in covenant with. God was not pleased. Let's just put it that way. He wasn't pleased. God's never going to hold man to a higher standard than he is. When the Gibeonites did come under attack, when Joshua entered into that covenant with them, the Gibeonites came under attack, and Joshua, they could have stepped back and said, oops, too bad for you. But no, that wasn't the answer. The answer was, we've entered into covenant with these people, and they went and brought about military victory. They defended the Gibeonites, even though the Gibeonites had acted with less than forthright and upright motives. God's not going to do any less. If you're a child of God, listen, we celebrate communion on the first Sunday of every month, and it's called this covenant. This covenant. Communion is a sign of the covenant. It is established by the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's a covenant between God and with us. And when the enemy comes and attacks you, guess what? God is looking for you to say, God, this is what they said. They think they're doing it to me, but they're doing it to you. I'm your property. Had a man that told me one time he was in the military, and he went to the beach, and he got extremely sunburned. extremely sunburned to the point of sun poisoning. And when he got treatment, the person that he was talking to said, "Do you realize how much trouble you could be in because you have damaged government property?" He wasn't talking about a tank. He wasn't talking about a car. He wasn't talking about a rifle or any other piece of he was talking about the body of a person in the United States military. He said that your body right now belongs to the United States military, and don't you be damaging it. You signed into an agreement with us, and don't damage our property. Do you realize that you and I have been bought with a price? The price was the blood of Jesus Christ. God didn't buy you in the bargain basement. He didn't go and say, "You know, that price is a little steep. Maybe I'll wait a while and come back when it's been discontinued." No, he paid the very highest price for you so that he could walk in covenant with you and I, so that he could fight our battles with us, fight our battles for us. "By your servants you have reproached the Lord," it says in verse number 24. And then he goes on and he talks about the Assyrians' pride. He thought it was the multitude of his chariots, and that he had reached the highest height of the mountains and cut down the most choicest of trees, that he was a source of water and dried up other people's sources of reliability. And let me tell you something. Pride will always get you on God's bad side. Pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God is, he's not pleased with pride. And he goes on to verse number 26, and God says, "Did you not realize that I created you for a purpose?" Now, this is him talking to the king of Assyria. "I created you for a purpose. Those cities that you came and you devastated, those fortified cities, their inhabitants didn't have any power. They were dismayed and confounded. It was all because I was bringing judgment upon them, and I was using you." But listen to this. He says, "But you have overstepped your authority." That's what I have written in my Bible as a note from verses 26 through 27. He says, "You have overstepped." You won't find that written down in the Word. That's just my application of it there. That the king of Assyria, he had become so full of himself that he was willing to overstep his authority. One of the things that I talk about the power of God is it talks about the raging ocean, and he says to the ocean, he says, "This is where your proud waves halt. This is the boundary. You don't get to cross this boundary here." You see, God has jurisdictional lines, and the enemy cannot get to you and I without first going through God. A lot of people don't want any boundaries. They don't want to have any restrictions. They don't want anybody telling them what to do, how to do it, when to do it, any of that sort of stuff. They don't want it. And in reality, I am of the mindset that God establishes parameters and boundaries. It doesn't mean that he won't enlarge our dwellings and cause us to stretch forth our tent. Doesn't mean he doesn't want us to grow. But what he wants to do is he wants to provide perimeters for us so that it focuses our strength, focuses our vision, and intensifies our power. In a marital relationship, intimacy is because there are boundaries to the relationship. Society is bewildered why they have done away with all of the boundaries, and there isn't the intimacy level or the commitment level that there used to be. It's because there's no boundaries there anymore. God says, "You overstepped your boundaries, but let me tell you what I know about you. I know your dwelling place. I know when you go in. I know when you go out, and I know when you come in. I know that you rage against me, and that you're looking to just create a bunch of tumult and chaos and havoc. All of this has come up to my ears, and therefore I'm about to," and again, this is my take on this verse, "I am about to reel you in. I'm going to put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. He says, when you have overstepped your authority, he said, please understand that I have the power, I have the technology, I have the capability, I have the will, that I will restore you back to your proper place. And if you overstep your authority, when I put you back in your place, you are going to be greatly humbled. I want you to know that, how do I want to say this? The world, in verse number 36, it talks about that the angel of the Lord went out and killed the about 185,000 people in the Assyrian army. Verse number 37, so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. Now it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that his sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, struck him down with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. Then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. The reality is this: the world does not tolerate failure. The world doesn't tolerate failure. There are some people that are so afraid of failing that they never attempt to do something. You actually need to walk with God instead of walking away from him. You need to walk with God, because here's the reality: God is merciful. God is merciful. I have learned more from my failures many times than I have from my successes. I can still describe to you failures that I had. It's not that I haven't been forgiven. It's just that those things were so traumatic that I didn't ever want to forget the lessons that I learned from failing. Don't let failure keep you down. Allow failure to make you wiser. Our Sunday school teachers, Tim and Jerry Garrison, they have a saying that says, God doesn't waste anything. If you failed, he's not going to waste it. He's going to make you wiser. He's going to make you smarter. He's going to make you, he's going to make you more obedient. You're going to learn to appreciate, this is the way, walk in it, says the Lord. That's what it does. The world doesn't tolerate failure. This battle was the beginning of the end for the most powerful army on the face of the earth. Up until this time, Assyria, a cruel, heartless people, they had been the most powerful nation on the earth. They destroyed the 10 northern tribes in 721 to 722 BC. When the tribe of Judah was carried off, it was 586-587 BC, just a little bit over 130 years later. And at that point in time, Assyria wasn't the most powerful nation anymore. Babylon was. All of that changed because one man prayed. All of that changed because a people turned to God and said, God, we want to do it your way. I pray that today we'll make a difference for tomorrow. God bless you. See you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are. tell my praise to you.
It's like an